On an iPhone? Get our app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
Folks, early voting for election 2022 has officially begun. 19 locations have opened up in Washoe County and a few more outside of Washoe County. And in about 15 minutes, we're going to have the Carson City Clerk Recorder candidate, Scott Hohen, to talk about voter integrity. Stick around for that. Lots to say on 99.1 FM Talk. I'm John Putter with Jay Biggs.
Yes, good morning. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we just stopped all that early voting now and counted all the ballots that have already been turned in the last 6 minutes. And if we hadn't had a more overwhelming Democratic turnout than ever. Okay. Anyways, I'm joking. Maybe not. Either way, we have in the studio live with us this morning, Chris McGill. He is the owner and trainer for Lupin Canine LLC. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And, you know, so we're talking about dogs, and so you do domestic training for folks, kind of like a dog whisperer, I guess. If you would like, if your animal, such as a dog, or you even said that you've trained some pigs as well.
Once or twice.
Okay, well, you know, if you need some help with that, you can call this guy right here and get in touch with him at Lupin LLC. But what I wanted to ask you about was, what are some of the more family-friendly animals, dogs, actually, breeds, that you would say that are ones that are that you could get that would, and I hate to say this to keep you out of business, but what are the more family friendly ones that are just already going to be kind of adjusted?
That's a good question. The temperaments are really different between breeds, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I don't know why.
I mean, there's a reason why the pit bulls and stuff like that, right? I mean,
yeah,
they kind of
absolutely.
Have a, somewhat
well,
of a
pit ball fanatics will argue that point. They'll say they're just as gentle and lovable as any other breed.
In Spanish.
And, yep, and that and that is true. You know, it really, what it comes down to is the breed you want to go for and going to a good quality breeder, right? So the two best recommendations for, you know, a house dog would be a lab or a golden retriever.
Oh, my God, labs. Love them.
Yep. Yep, exactly. Some of the doodles, some things like that. You know, they make really good family pets because they are so sweet and so nice. They're typically good with other dogs. They're usually not over the top with energy. I mean, you can still take them out hiking and play ball and whatnot, but they're just super sweet and they're really hard to mess up.
Dogs, by the way, don't call them bites. They call them tooth hugs, in case you didn't know. Listen, I have heard so many complaints about people on the trails, Steamboat Ditch, elsewhere, encountering dog owners with either no leash at all, or they are on the leash, but they have no control of the dog. Mm-hmm. They'll be like two big dogs and a young woman walking on and bite after bite after bite.
Yeah.
What can be done?
The best thing is take him to a trainer. You can bring him to me and I can help with that. I can help with all of that.
Well, we need a responsible owner first.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. A big thing is the culture behind dogs and teaching the owners what's acceptable and what's not, and what dogs can and cannot get away with. And so when we're working with those off-leash dogs, you know, we need to teach them a perfect recall and everything before they're even allowed off-leash. And if they don't have that, they should never be off-leash. They should be on-leash or, you know, and walking in a nice heel and going by dogs. And
should be, but boy, reality.
Yeah,
that's true.
You know, it's
that's
a true. Darn shame. It really is.
Well, Chris, let me ask you this, because I asked you, obviously, what are the better, you know, kinds of dogs that you can get? What are maybe some of the ones that are going to need more work just by breed?
So, like, what's really popular right now is the Belgian Malinois, you know.
Oh, wow.
Belgian Malinois, Dutch Shepherds, German Shepherds, some of the Pit Bulls and the Corsos, things like that. They can be pretty difficult.
Doberman Pinschers, too?
Doberman Pinschers, same thing. But it depends on what you want to do with your dog, right? So my personal dog is a German Shepherd, and his pedigree comes from the Czech Republic. And he is bred to do personal protection work. And so we compete in a sport called PSA, which is Protection Sports Association. And that's what he loves to do. He loves to bite things. He loves to bite people. He loves to bite toys.
I've seen this, I think, like on TV. It's like where they get between you and whoever the assailant is or something that's coming at you or something. You know, they just place themselves, right? That's protection.
Yeah, well, and they do bite as well.
Right.
So, yep, he goes up, he bites guys on a suit, does the whole thing. You know, it's a whole, it's a whole test for the dogs.
You have a love hug suit?
I do have a love hug. A tooth hug suit.
Our tooth hug suit there.
your German Shepherd came from Czechoslovakia. I can't tell you how many times I've been talking to officers, and when they bring in a new canine, a police dog,
yep.
It's usually comes in from Czechoslovakia.
Yeah, so.
German Shepherd.
Yep. So
they're not from Germany?
Well, there are some of the really good dogs come from the Czech Republic. It just has to do with the breeders and the temperaments of the dogs they like over there.
Well, obviously, they're very intelligent.
Yes.
You know, one thing I always wondered about, and you could answer this, mm-hmm. Would a police dog attack a policeman if it perceives them as being the aggressor? Are they
that's
smart?
That's a good question.
So that comes down to training and genetics. Right, so there are certain dogs that come from Holland that are they carry handler aggression in their pedigree,
yeah.
And so they do their job extremely well. But if you went to correct them too hard, or they thought you did something unfair, they might come up the leash and bite you. And that's absolutely possible.
It is always funny, by the way, to see crooks try to outrun a police dog on cops. It never works. They are fur missiles.
Yes, they are.
Tooth hugs.
I'm always tripped out by that too, because like I've had, for instance, our producer Phil through the week that does traffic with me and stuff. He used to have a an Australian Shepherd.
Oh yeah,
and it was deaf. And when I walked into his house for the very first time, that dog didn't know I was coming in the house, and it ran full speed at me. And I put my arms up and I go no, and he jumped with a bite and got me right here on my arm.
Oh man.
And had to be like launched off of me, and he was so worried for weeks after that. He's like, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, don't worry, I'm not going to have your dog, euthanized or anything, But so it is interesting, just some dogs just get that wild, quirky hair. Are there some breeds, let me ask you this, like where, again, I hate to go back to this whole thing, with the pit bulls, mm-hmm. but they say, those animals can be the most loving, caring animal, and then 1 second, boom, the wrong thing flips them.
Yeah, so a lot of what people see as a pit bull nowadays, they see the big muscular dog with the big head and things like that.
Right.
Those aren't actually pit bulls.
So they're not.
The real pit bulls from back in the day, the American Pit Bull Terrier, they're very lean, they're very small, and they have a really thin head. They almost look like a lab.
They're almost like the mini pit bulls, right, that they have?
Yeah, the real ones, imagine, so the pit bulls that we see and associate with that, they look like bodybuilders, right?
Yeah.
A real pit bull looks like Bruce Lee. They're
okay.
Like 45 pounds. They're super lean.
So they're on the P90X.
Yeah. And those type of dogs, they're usually pretty typically good with people, but never with other dogs.
And really? Well, okay.
Yep. And that's what they were bred to do.
I had the sweetest dog, last dog I had, and it was lovable and sweet and everything. Mm-hmm. And we'd be walking her, and people would stop and pet and everything.
Yeah.
But some people would trigger this dog. I don't know if it's their scent or something.
It's the best way to know if someone's good or not.
Lunged.
Yeah. So
I never figured that out.
Yeah. So that has to just do with the dog's suspicion level, right? So.
Wow. Is
they read facial cues and things like that. So mm-hmm. if someone walks up and they're running in and they're hard staring at your dog and looking them in the eye, that can create some confrontation.
Man.
For the dog. And so if they come in too fast like that, then the dog could read that perception.
They attack and ask questions later, man.
Yeah.
I'll
yeah.
tell you.
My dog's skittish. He can't even make a noise in the house, like shut a door without it getting scared. So
yeah.
So Chris, how about deprogramming? I'm thinking of all the police dogs that were trained to sniff out marijuana. Okay.
Yes.
Now it's a different situation now with these dogs. Are they out of work?
Well, so yeah, for those
no,
dogs.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
They go crazy.
The
if they
dogs are into edible treats now, I guess.
Yeah. So I don't do any of the police dog work, but I have done some scent work and things like that. And it's really hard to change that. So a lot of these dogs that indicate on marijuana, they're usually stuck on that indication. So they'll still look for it, as far as I know. I haven't seen any of those guys do any.
If there are no dogs in heaven, then I want to go where they went. There you go.
Over yep. the Rainbow Bridge.
Yes. I want to go where the dogs are if they don't go to heaven. I just want to make that public.
So, well, there we go. John's memorial service will be sending him over the Rainbow Bridge to our next life. That's interesting. All right. Well, Chris, just in closing here, go ahead and tell us how we can get in touch with Lupin LLC if somebody is interested in getting their dogs trained by you. Do you have a phone number, websites, social media, stuff like
yeah,
that?
Yeah. So the best way to find me is on Instagram. It's Lupin _K9. And then they can always reach out. My phone number's on there. If they don't have an Instagram, my website's currently being built, but they can give me a call. That's 775-830-8625.
Okay.
And those are the best ways to reach out if they want any dog training.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. We're going to be talking early voting next with our candidate for Carson City Clerk Recorder.
That's right. Scott Hohen's going to be in here next.
We're going to find out
that.
Some stuff.
It should be interesting. I'm very excited to talk with him. It's going to be next on Live and Local with John and Jay on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3.
Fox at the top. Fox at the bottom. Live and local right now on KKFT.
It is live. It is local with John and Jay right here on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3.
If you are passionate about voter integrity, the elections for county clerks are important ones. We have a candidate here for Carson City Clerk Recorder, Scott Hohen. He's running against Stacy Wilkie McCullough. Scott says he is the most qualified as a technology expert who has Carson City election poll worker experience himself. Hey, Scott, thanks for coming by.
Great to be here.
So how are you more qualified than your opponent?
Two things. And what people don't realize, this isn't just the elections. Number one, I was a Carson City poll worker and experienced all of the technology, software, systems, check-in of people getting their ballots. And we can talk about that.
How did that process go?
I mean, well, it's interesting. This is a nonpartisan race. Uh-huh. But everybody that walked up to me during that time was reaching for their wallet, reaching for their purse, because they all wanted to show their ID. Everybody wants their vote to count. I can't stress that enough. Everybody wants their vote to count. They want their signature to match. They want to make sure that it matters. I don't care what party you're in.
And they don't want their dead relatives voting either.
So they were reaching for their IDs. But
and you don't ask for the ID. You only have to ask for ID unless a signature doesn't match. So when they sign an affidavit, if it doesn't match, then you then, hey, I just want to check where you live and make sure you are who you are.
The last time I voted, the person checking me in was not interested in seeing my driver's license.
Correct.
And they acted like he was comparing signatures, but you're not sure. Because you don't get to see their laptop screen. And this caught my eye, too.
Yeah.
The ACLU in their hand-counting case against Nye County says the county violated state law with its, quote, stringent signature verification for voter ID. What the heck is that? Is signature verification not supposed to be stringent?
It's part of the process. but you know, it's not, oh, that's good enough. You want to make sure it matches, right? And when they registered to vote maybe 30 years ago, their signature is completely different than it is today. Or when they registered, to, you know, or when they went to the DMV to do their Department of Motor Vehicle registration licensing, it's completely different, you know, in a rush to what is actually on file. And you want to make sure that the right person is voting for voter integrity purposes. Not to minimize votes, but you just want to make sure that the right person is voting.
The people you met during your campaign, do they have confidence in the election system? What do they tell you?
You know, it's incredible. Probably, first of all, great people in Carson City. That's the best experience I've gone through, just meeting these people. But when you knock on the doors, I would probably say 9 out of 10 bring up voter roll issues. They're saying, hey, I received multiple ballots. Hey, I received a ballot that a person used to live here before. I received a ballot that a person has passed away here. It's amazing. So the confidence has been shaken right now. And we need to clean up our voter rolls. Give me an example. The last primary, we mailed out nearly 40,000 ballots. 4,000 or 10% of them came back undeliverable at a cost of $5 each or $20,000 wasted because we don't have good, clean voter rolls. That $20,000 could have gone to the Carson City Road Improvement Projects.
Right.
But those are the ones we know about. Those aren't the ones that go to these houses that are delivered that aren't returned. That people have moved away or passed away.
I was living in an apartment complex 4 years ago after they started the mail-in ballots. And Scott, in the mailroom, before early voting, there were ballots all over the floor. I tossed
there, like junk mail,
mm-hmm.
From people who had, I guess, no interest in voting, I'm guessing, alarmed me. I mean, yeah. What have you seen or heard about?
Well, I've seen pictures. I even had somebody just the other day send me a picture of everything on the ground. I think it's gotten better. I think the post office understands the importance of it, but it's an issue that the post office and the apartment buildings have to deal with.
Well, here's another issue, because the news stations made a big deal about what day you were going to get your ballot, at least in Washoe County. Mm-hmm. It was well publicized on the news what mm-hmm. day people were getting their official ballots. And on that day, you probably had hundreds of thousands of unguarded mailboxes with ballots sitting in them. People mm-hmm. knew when they were in the mailbox. And mail theft has happened on my street.
Well, that's one of the campaign issues that are coming up right now, because when the last, a legislature ago passed AB 321, making mail ballots legal, before that, it was illegal. Before that, it was a felony. Before that, you had to request an absentee ballot be sent to you. Now, just ballots are being sent to every voter that's on the voter rolls. Clark County had a huge issue delivering ballots or sending out ballots to inactive voters that causes people to question the validity of the election. And I've got to fix this. I've got to restore confidence in Carson City by cleaning up voter rolls for sure.
Scott, tell me just what do you think is the reason for this, that these mailing ballots are being sent out to these people still for no reason?
Everybody wants it to be easy to vote and hard to cheat. The problem is mail-in ballots make it easy to vote, almost too easy. Because right. then cheating is a possibility, and we got to get rid of that doubt.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I don't like when they say, well, you know, the last election, there was only a handful, and I'm not interested in that. I want to know in the future what's going to happen. That's what I want to hear about, what precautions are set up so that this situation, this process isn't totally taken advantage of, but I can see how it, in a way, it could be possible.
Well, and mistakes happen too. So the auto voter registration process with the DMV mm-hmm. and those records being sent to the clerk's office to add to the database every day, the DMV made a mistake this last summer, and 44,000 of those people were switched to a known party, and they didn't have a voice in the primary. Things happen that we need to fix just with the voter rolls itself.
So what improvements and changes would you like to see when it comes to holding elections? What do you propose doing, you know, if elected?
This doesn't happen just during the election cycle. I want to be totally transparent with the Carson City voters. I want to tell them what we're doing proactively to clean up the voter rolls. I want to tell them, here's how many people we've moved to inactive status. I'm not talking about deleting people. You have to understand, I'm not trying to take away voters' rights. We're going to move them to inactive status because they've moved away or they passed away. Moving somebody to inactive status will prevent a mail-in ballot being sent out. They can always come back. They can always, if they move back to Carson City, they can reactivate their voter rights to do that. But I want to prevent mail-in ballots being sent out to people that shouldn't get them.
Your opponent says the Secretary of State has a program to properly train election workers. And about mail-in ballots, she says our military has used mail-in ballots for over 100 years with little or no problem. What do you say to that?
Military has a process to send in ballots. I agree. It's not very many, but I agree. When it comes to election training, it's not done by the Secretary of State. It's done by the clerk recorder. So whatever training happens, and I went through the training process when I was a poll worker, so I know what the training was. I know what we did for signature verification. I know what we did to work the software to make sure that it works. So not Secretary of State responsibility, county clerk responsibility, and I'm going to hold our volunteers to a higher standard. It's important everybody understands the next election cycle in 24, we're going to have three elections. We're going to have the presidential election in February, they have the primary, we have the general. It's going to be important to recruit volunteers and make sure they're well-trained, make sure they're ready for this. And I want to make sure they're doing it. And I'm a technology expert on the title insurance side. We're only talking about elections right now, but there's a whole big issue on the title recording side that has fraud involved with it. But I'm a technology expert, and I'm going to make sure that everybody understands this is the way we need to do it and do it right.
Man, Sounds like you need to build a macro for this stuff. This is going to be awesome. All right, so tell me this. What do you think the biggest thing that we can do to prevent all this would be at this point? Do you think it is just the fact that you're going to have your ID?
Well, that's all done through legislation, right?
Right.
I'm, as the county clerk recorder, you have to abide by the rules and regulations set forth by the legislature and the Secretary of State. But give me a perfect example. What's going on with Nye County that he mentioned? Mm-hmm. Secretary of State's been working on establishing regulations for the past year on how to manage a hand counting process. So Nye County wants to do a hand counting and ballot and machine counting side by side. And that'll be an issue because who wins, the machines or the hand counting?
Right.
But
it'd be interesting to compare, though.
And I think that's what Nye County is trying to do. So Nye County, not the clerk recorder at Nye County, Mark, it's the board. I mean, it was a consensus of opinion from the board that that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to count mail ballots, similar size to Carson City. And they're going to find out, machine versus us. And hopefully that will restore voter confidence in what we're doing.
Right. They're going to hand count with the machines right next to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Well,
yep.
If there is any sort of a disagreement on numbers, that's obviously going to raise some questions, you know, between the machine and the actual people that are, you know, counting the votes.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not sure all the details about Nye County, but I'm sure.
I just wonder if that's going to jump off for other counties, though. Like, let's just say that election, the counting, the hand counting goes differently than, let's say, like the machines or something. Is that going to maybe set a precedent for other counties to maybe say, hey, maybe we need to try this too?
I don't know. But in Carson City,
yeah,
we're not faced with a Dominion issue like they are. In Carson City, we have ES&S as a machine, as a tabulator.
Thank gosh.
So we're different.
Yeah, we got that out in Lyon County. We got Dominion, fortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Anyway.
What do you think of these machines in Carson City? Or that company?
I think Carson City runs a good, clean election. But I won't know until I get there. I know what a modem is. I know what a motherboard is. I know what coding is. I know how to talk to the vendors. I won't know until I get there. But we run a good shop, I think.
All right. Scott, we're going to take a break for Fox News. Interesting. And early voting is on right now.
Right. You can get out. You got 30 minutes. All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be back right here on Live and Local with John and Jay on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news. 99.1 FM Talk, KKFT.
Yes, your garden had a good run, but we can't hold it off any longer. We're 9 days from November. The first hard freeze of the season hits tonight. There was actually a fire watch here yesterday and a freeze warning today.
Boy, that is northern Nevada. Yeah. Boy, you can't get more northern Nevada than that. It is Live and Local. It's John and Jay, 99.1 FM Talk, Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3. Please find us on Facebook. Just search for Live and Local with John and Jay. Also, you can listen to our podcast at 991fmtalk.com about an hour after the end of each and every episode. But right now, in studio with us, still, is Scott Hohen, who is running for the Carson City Clerk Recorder. And, Scott, let's just get right down to this. Your opponent says that you are an election denier. What do you say about this?
Couldn't be further from the truth. Number one, this is a nonpartisan race. Okay.
All right.
Politics doesn't have anything to play with this. This is a clerk, recorder, election, public administrator job.
Just the facts, ma'am. Right?
Just the facts. And go for the person that's got the experience. But secondly, move on. Get over it. The 2020 happened. It's real. The election denying doesn't have anything to do with this race right now, but never have been. And those mistruths and lies are being spread. And that's just what it is.
Right. Absolutely. So what are you, are you out doing some campaigning right now? Are you making some speeches at places and whatnot? Like, what do you got going on?
I am doing everything I can, attending every event in Carson City. It's phenomenal, all the activities that go on in Carson City. Meeting and greeting people, even if I'm talking to somebody at Starbucks in line. You live in Carson City, they're more than willing to have a conversation about this because they care. Right. I care. And that's one of the reasons why I'm running. I care about Carson City, and I want to make sure that I do the best job that I can.
Well, let's get to know you. What's your background? Have you ever run for public office before?
No, I haven't. I'm not a politician by any means. This is the first time I'm running for a campaign. And
what triggered you to run?
You know, it's It's the Carson City election poll working experience I probably had. Aubrey Rolette, the current clerk recorder, has done a phenomenal job with her team. But she decided not to run. With her not deciding to run, I decided to step up. Someone's got to step up to take action here and make a difference. And with me door knocking and meeting everybody that I have met, it's been a phenomenal experience just from the interaction with the people. The process of running for election, it's not fun.
I like that campaign slogan, someone's got to step up. And that's true. Yeah. That's true.
And you say your opponent is being funded by a kind of leftist pack?
Yeah, there is a pack out there called OpenDemocracyPack.com. It's a Soros-backed pack. And she and a lot of other clerk recorders across the country and in Nevada. It also backs Cisco Aguilar, I believe. We don't want that in our local elections. Period.
No, we don't. We definitely do not want that for sure. Do you have like a website or anything that people can go to find out more about your campaign and exactly what you believe?
Yeah, you're going to learn more about what I'm all about and where I came from, what I did. I mean, I've got an undergraduate degree from Lewis and Clark College in Portland, Oregon, with an emphasis in accounting and econ. I was going to be a CPA when I got out of college, so I'm well-versed in the financial side of things. I've got an MBA from Pepperdine University in organizational design and strategic planning. I'm ready to lead that department and bring them to the next level and work with them. But my website, hoenforclerk.com, hoenforclerk.com. I would encourage people to go check my blog. I post regularly. I created the website. I've created email systems and social platforms. I'm going to do a good job over communicating to my community.
Now, you've created other things as well, right? When we were just talking about a website that directs people to basically the clerk recorder site there in
Carson
City.
Yeah. This is really important. I mean, everybody focuses on the elections. You need to focus on the recorder side of the business. I'm a 30-year title insurance executive. Been in the title insurance business, know it very, very well. Title fraud is rampant. Title fraud is out there. Mm-hmm. A fraudster can easily record a document against somebody's home and then go refinance that home and pull out the equity, and then they're gone.
Yeah.
And people don't know about it. So Carson City, the clerk recorder, this last August set up a site on the city webpage to allow you to opt in to be notified if anything's recorded against your property. Homeowners need to do this. So all I did is I created a simple redirect website, titlealert.net. Titlealert.net will take you right to the city webpage where you can sign up. If you sign up and go through the authentication process with your parcel and your name, you can be notified if anything is filed against your property. I don't care if it's a mechanics lien, tax lien, child support, or trying to take your property away from you. You hear about identity theft, you don't hear about property theft.
I did hear about a case, I don't know if this is title fraud, but somebody had their name, the fraudster's name, as the owner of a home on Zillow. I don't know how this, I guess it can be done.
Well, it got recorded
that way. And they were putting it on the market.
Yeah, and it got recorded. And all Zillow does is pull public, this is public record data, right? Assessor information, physical characteristics, loan information. All this is out there for fraudsters to find and see. So somebody probably did that and probably is going through the process of doing that. Maybe somebody passed away. Maybe somebody moved away. Maybe somebody isn't in the know. But really important on the title site.
So, and it's free, right, to sign up for that?
Oh, this is totally free, Carson City. I just want to make sure I promote it, Carson City. You need to opt into this process. So the clerk recorder's job is clerk, recorder, marriage, notary, and we're even the public administrator, let alone elections.
This is like LifeLock for your home, for your property.
Yeah, in a way, it is. Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting. I mean, you never would have think that somebody would go in and literally get your equity out of your house.
It's
been done, too.
Like I said earlier, it's like squatting on a mortgage.
So bottom line, I care. I've got the experience.
Yeah.
My opponent doesn't. Okay. So I've worked the collections. I've worked the recorder side of the business. I've created systems for it. You know, we haven't talked about it. We don't have any time, but blockchain's coming. Blockchain's coming down the road, and I'm prepared to make sure that I can make a difference in the recorder's office using those tools.
Okay.
Which you absolutely should. Okay, one more time, Scott, what is that website?
Scott Hoen, hoenforclerk.com, or you can reach me at 775-400-7799. Be happy to have an open conversation and answer any questions you might have.
That's Hoen, Hoen. Scott, it's been a pleasure meeting you.
great.
Yeah,
you too.
Absolutely. He's a great guy, so make sure you check him out. And we are going to be talking next with Brinkby Animal Hospital right here on Live and Local with John and Jay on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3.
The easiest way to remember us is just 99.1 FM Talk.
It's Live and Local with John and Jay on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3. I want to encourage you to go to 991fmtalk.com and check out the podcast at the end of the episode. You can check that out every week. And also, go and join us on Facebook. Just search for Live and Local with John and Jay.
Dr. Brittany Clark.
Hello.
It's with Brinkby Animal Hospital in Reno. That's right by Outback Steakhouse on Baker Lane by South Virginia. As I said to you when you came in, you're my veterinarian.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Not that you treat me, but we have three cats.
Not those kind of dogs.
Yeah.
Everybody is looking for a veterinarian. You did not have to do this to come out here to this radio station and educate people about pet care. As a matter of fact, I think you still have a waiting list, don't you, at Brinkby Animal Hospital?
We do, yeah. There's been a lot of, especially the past year or so, just with all of the kind of people coming out here, it's made it really difficult to try to get into any vets. So we do kind of have a wait list going right now and not taking really new clients at this time.
Well, we have a virus. What is this virus that I've never heard about, that infected so many kittens at the Nevada Humane Society?
Oh, I heard about this.
Yeah, very scary. I know we actually got a call from them. They were kind of calling all the vet clinics around to let them know. So pretty serious thing, kind of called feline panleukopenia. Very similar. I don't know if you've heard of parvovirus in puppies before.
Dogs, that's horrible.
Yes, so this is kind of the, it's called feline parvo sometimes.
Okay.
So it's very similar to that, very very serious and can be dangerous.
Does it just affect the young ones like parvo does?
It usually does, usually kind of in that 3 to 5 month range.
Oh,
is when they get them. And kittens that are still kind of in their moms, it can really harm them. And unvaccinated kitties too, it can really get them. So.
And is this a result, like for instance, with puppies, they say, and maybe I'm wrong, because I'm not a vet, but they say to keep, like, you know, puppies away from, like, dog parks where there's, like, dog poop and stuff like that. So do you want to, like, maybe socially distance these pets in the beginning, and that's probably the best thing for them?
You do, exactly. Just like with kittens, they're, you know, potentially can get sick just like puppies can. So you want to keep them nice and isolated, especially until they're about, you know, 20 weeks of age or so.
Right.
So when they're kind of in that kitten stage, they're really vulnerable. So kind of keeping them away from other sick cats. And that's kind of why they were trying to adopt out so many pets and get them into foster homes. They were just trying to kind of clear the area and keep it from spreading around.
I think the Humane Society was doing, they were waiving the fees this weekend too.
They were. I just got an email. I think they adopted out about 250 or so.
That's wonderful.
Animals.
And these are vaccinated pets, aren't they, that they're adopting out? Because they did have that situation. And we lost some kittens. I mean, humans can't catch this. But it can kill the kittens. I think there were 22, I heard.
Absolutely. And I think because they have gotten so many kitties out of there, thankfully, I was reading that they were able to save about 50 of them, which is incredible because it's a very nasty disease that can be really detrimental.
It can be treated, right?
It can, in a sense, kind of like canine parvovirus with those puppies.
It's like 50-50.
Get that. Exactly. Yeah. It's kind of just if their immune response is going to respond to it or not.
How did you end up a veterinarian? Was this something you wanted to do from very young age?
Yeah. I have always loved and adored animals. I think my parents kind of knew I was going to go in that direction very early on because I just would always kind of want to hang out with them and help them. So it was something from a very early age. I knew I wanted to kind of do something with animals. And then I kind of thought about going in the vet field because I do like that medical aspect too.
Do you have pets yourself?
I do. I have two kitties right now. We're going to get dogs eventually. But my older kitty is about in his 20s. Then I have a younger kitten that kind of bullies him around
a
little bit.
The 20s? Did you say in the
20s? Yes,
how long is this thing going to live?
I know. He keeps going. Jay. He's my little baby.
My gosh. No, I'm serious. Like, well, I've heard of cats being like 18.
Yeah.
But 20.
I know. It's pretty incredible. You don't
see it a lot.
It is.
I'm interested in knowing who else has a cat scratching post in excellent condition surrounded by ruined furniture. I can't. It's another cat mystery.
Yes.
Along with, why do they fight and scratch and cat curse me when I try to cut our cat's nails like a feline Mad Max? But when the vet clips their nails, they're perfect little angels every time.
I know.
Why
Isn't
do you
that
think
crazy?
That is?
I think they're just so scared and nervous when they're at the vet. So they kind of let us do a lot more compared to when they're in their home and their safe environment. So it helps us out, but I know it kind of makes you look like a little bit of a liar.
Well, I just figured maybe they were encouraging them with some catnip or something.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes you get little cat treats out to kind of help it, but they do very well with it.
It's a humbling moment when you realize as a pet owner that your pet has trained you perfectly, successfully. My three cats have me so well trained. They have me getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
They tell me when it's food time. I am taught by a non-human.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of feeding time, any cat food or dog food recommendations?
So generally we kind of go for the bigger brands. Royal Canin, I really like. Hills is another good one. So kind of just any of those big brands are good to do because they are kind of backed by science and they have had food trials behind them and everything. So those are typically good ones to go for.
What are the brands again?
Royal Canin. I actually feed that to my own kitties. And Hills is another one that we like to promote too.
Casper will eat virtually anything you put in front of him.
Does he?
Unless there's a pill hidden in it, then he's like suddenly Gordon Ramsay.
Yes. They're very intuitive. They know what's in there.
That is funny. Let me ask you about this. As far as like rawhide, let's mm-hmm. clear this up. As far as dogs, mm-hmm. Should they be looking for alternatives?
I think that is good. So raw hides are kind of bad in the aspect that it can be hard on their teeth. So they can get fractures and things like that we see a lot of the time.
Right.
But also that aspect where they can kind of swallow a piece and then get it stuck and then we have to go in and get it out. So I would kind of stay away from that.
I went to Bully Sticks for a while, but gosh, mm-hmm. those things are like more expensive than a steak.
They are. I know. Okay. Kind of like those greenies. Those dental chews can get expensive too.
Oh my God. I'm over there like, I just gave my dog an Outback Steakhouse meal.
They eat better than us sometimes.
Yeah, that's okay.
Do you treat birds?
We don't. Just doggies and kitties. Over at our practice. But there are a few clinics in town that kind of treat the exotic species too.
Well, we were just talking about with a dog trainer about mm-hmm. the difference in breeds.
Yeah.
And there's a difference in temperament.
Yes.
What about cats?
Yeah, I feel like there is, a difference too, depending on them. And certainly with kind of medical conditions, those purebreds can be kind of prone to more diseases and things like that. Mm-hmm. But orange tabbies, Siamese, they definitely have kind of their own unique personalities a lot of the time too.
I have the grouchiest calico.
Yes.
Oh, you know, that's right. She said to me in your waiting room, she said, she puts the thermometer where?
I know. I think that's part
well, you
of
have
why
to. They don't
scared.
Hold it in their
yeah,
mouth.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. You got to go that way.
That's so bad. Anyways. All right. Well, we were going to be talking a lot more with you, but we've got a little bit of time here before we go to our first break, Brittany.
Yeah.
And so kind of tell us, what are some of your, do you prefer dogs or cats to work on?
Yeah, not so much. I get asked that a lot, and I actually like both of them equally. So
Okay.
It's not something I can kind of choose between. I have had dogs and cats and all sorts of critters growing up. So I really enjoy treating both of them.
Well, if you listen to the show, you know John's a cat enthusiast.
Yes.
And of course, I love my little dogs. I just got a brand new puppy. So when I was down in Urington, mm-hmm. living down there. Back in January, I dropped a card with the animal shelter down there. They just finally called me on Monday, and they had a little puppy. And so I just drove down and got it. It's a schnoodle mixed with a rat terrier. and it is small. So I'm really, really, in fact, now that John has turned me on to you guys over, I'm going to bring her down to you because I don't have a hospital for it yet.
Yeah,
so
that sounds wonderful.
This is going to be good. So we're going to have to get her her booster shots and all that kind of good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But so let me ask you this, like, why would somebody, I mean, just what would you think would be your reason that someone would come to you guys versus any other animal hospital?
Yeah, I think we do have, you know, that small atmosphere, which is nice. There's definitely pros and cons to, you know, small versus kind of larger hospitals. But we try to give that kind of small family vet kind of feel to our clients and just try to make them comfortable and make them feel like they're a part of the process and treating their pets.
It's
too.
Literally the opposite of what they make you feel there at the animal ER if you take them on a Saturday.
I know what.
The $2,000 visit that they make you sit in your car for.
I can tell you, I just switched veterinarians to Brinkby, and I asked around, and you were highly recommended.
Oh.
And you have 113 Google reviews for Brinkby Animal Hospital, 5 stars out of 113. Yes, can you?
That's
just
very generous.
113 reviews,
yeah.
Perfect score. I've never seen that.
Yeah, that's very nice, and we really appreciate that, and we do love all of our clients, too.
Well, it's awesome having you here, and I can go into why I left the last veterinarian.
We don't need a
pretty
no
picture.
Smear campaigns
no,
this morning.
I'm restraining
not
myself.
A political campaign.
But I tell people I am my father's son, and I am my cat's pet.
Yes.
Cat owners admit it. You are their pets.
Yes, you just live in their house.
That's funny because when my dog chews on me, I say, "You're choosing me, aren't you?" And they do. They choose you. All right. Okay. So Dr. Brittany Clark, she is going to be with us here for one more segment on Live and Local with John and Jay. So stick around next. We got more time with her. It's 99.1 FM Talk and Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3.